We are going to be in the book of Hebrews tonight, looking at chapter 2, verse 9. So the first two chapters of Hebrews actually kind of follow a similar outline from our psalm this morning, as Ryan showed us in Psalm 8, how it began with God's unequaled superiority as creator. Okay, so the author of Hebrews begins the book in chapter 1 by showing how Jesus actually shares in that unequaled superiority to God. So he is the exalted Son of God, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And then he goes on in the rest of chapter 1 to show how Christ is superior to angels also in every way. And then when we get to chapter 2, he transitions from Christ's deity to the other aspect of his person, which is his humanity. And so as we saw in Psalm 8 this morning, Jesus not only shares in this unequaled superiority as creator that God has, but he also shares in humanity's exalted status in creation. So he's not only the eternal Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man, who stepped into his own creation because, as the writer said at the end of chapter 2, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So then, in order to make this transition from the Son of God in chapter 1 to the Son of Man in chapter 2, the writer quoted our psalm from this morning, Psalm 8, about mankind's place in creation, and then he applies it to Jesus in order to illustrate this point, and that brings us to our verse this evening. So let's read it together and consider what it has to say to us. Hebrews 2, verse 9. It says, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Now, what I want you to see here is this word that's used twice in this verse, which is death. Okay, so the main idea is that through the sacrificial death of Jesus, he was given glory and we were shown grace. Okay, and that's going to serve as our two points. Okay, these two results from the death of Jesus Christ was glory for him and grace for us. Glory for him and grace for us. Okay. So let's first consider the glory that he received as a result of his death. Okay, so as we said, in making this transition from Jesus as the Son of God to the Son of Man, the writer to the Hebrews quoted Psalm 8 in verses 6 through 8 here of chapter 2. And then he starts to apply it to Christ's humanity here in verse 9. He says, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels." So back in chapter 1, he had gone to great lengths to show that Christ is equal to God in all of his attributes and therefore was superior to the angels in every way. But then here he applies Psalm 8 to Jesus in order to show that in becoming a man, Jesus temporarily stepped down from his exalted position in order to become a human, which is, as the psalmist points out, it's a little lower than the angels. And in doing this, not only did he lower himself by condescending to his own creation to take on flesh and become one of them, But he wasn't even exalted among people when he came to earth, right? I mean, he was born in a barn with a feed trough as a crib. He was rejected by his people. He was eventually arrested, beaten, mocked, given a crown of thorns to wear before he ultimately was crucified on a Roman cross alongside criminals. So just imagine for a second the fact that the creator of the universe, who spoke everything into existence, willingly stepped into his own creation in order to endure that kind of suffering and humiliation. I think the best way to illustrate this is in Philippians chapter 2, where it says, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. But Philippians 2 keeps going. And in verse 9 it says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's the same message we see here in Hebrews 2, verse 9. Even though he was temporarily humbled and made lower than the angels by becoming a man, we see that he was crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. So, and we see the same thing actually in Hebrews, back in Hebrews 1, 2, in verse 3. It says, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So although he was humbled temporarily after he accomplished his mission of coming to earth in order to die for his people, he's now seated at the place of highest honor. Okay, so that's the first result of Christ's death, which was glory for him. So let's look at the second result, which is grace for us. Grace for us. And this is what I really want us to reflect on tonight from an applicational standpoint. So the verse goes on and it says, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So I mentioned this word death is used twice here in this verse, and then it's also used another three times down in verses 14 and 15. And so it's really the focal point of this chapter, this idea of death and what Christ did through his death. So, as we all know, death began in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. And ever since that time, every human, with a couple of exceptions, has been subject to both physical and spiritual death because of sin. And that fear of death is the most innate characteristic that we all as humans share. No matter who you are, all people have a sense of their own mortality. And that they know that when their body dies, that their soul is going to be subject to judgment for their sin. And yet what we see here is that by God's grace, we don't have to fear physical or spiritual death any longer. Because of what Christ did on the cross, we've been raised from spiritual death to eternal life in him. And we don't have to fear physical death because our eternal destiny is secure. And when this body passes away, we are going to be with him forever. So the Puritan John Owen wrote a famous book on the atonement called the death of death in the death of Christ. And that title kind of captures the paradox here, which is the fact that Christ destroyed the power he had, the power that death had over humanity as a result of sin. And the way that he destroyed that death was through death, was through his own death. So in a sense, when Christ died, death also died along with him for those that repent of their sins and put their faith in him. So through his sacrificial death on the cross, Jesus tasted the death that we deserve. And when he went to the cross, he drank the cup of God's wrath against sin down to the last drop, so that by the grace of God, we didn't have to taste it for ourselves. Take a look quickly down at verses 14 and 15 of chapter 2 that kind of drives home the same point. He says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." So I hope that as you reflect on this truth, that you'll just rejoice in the death of death that took place through Jesus' death on the cross. So that by God's grace, Christ tasted death for you on the cross, so that you're no longer a slave to sin and Satan and death. That's an amazing thing for us to contemplate this evening. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this truth from your word that we've seen tonight. We just thank you for sending your son to humble himself by becoming a man and living a perfect life that we could never live, and then willingly going to the cross in order to die in our place and to taste the death that we deserved. Thank you that because of his death, we are now free from the power of death, and instead we have eternal life in you. Lord, just fill our hearts with gratitude and worship tonight as we reflect on what you've done for us in Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.